everybody. My name is Pastor Amanda. I'm one of the pastors here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I'm so glad that you found us online and are with us today as we wrap up our series, Find Your People, Love Your Neighbors. Over these last 3 weeks, we have been talking about this problem in our culture right now of loneliness. From the very beginning, God created us for relationships. God created us to need and to know each other. But the world tells us something very different. We get messages from a very young age that we should be strong and independent. Pull ourselves up from our bootstraps, shake it off, rub some dirt in it, don't let them see you cry, and on and on. And that way of living that's hyper-focused on individualism and competition, it erodes the fabric of relationships that God intended for us to experience. We are relational beings. We need to have other people in our lives to experience what God has intended for us, what God has designed for us. Last week, we talked about how important it is to find your people so that you can experience this life that God designed. And when we say that, we mean finding people that love you like Jesus does. We think finding your people doesn't mean finding people who are just like you, but finding people who let you just be you. Park Ridge Presbyterian Church is made up of a bunch of different people from different backgrounds who have different experiences, who are living through different circumstances. But the thing that holds us together is the love we have from Jesus and the way we love each other like Jesus. Today in part three, we are going to tie it all together by talking about the opportunity that we have to find our people by loving our neighbors. I challenged us a couple weeks ago to think about how we might be sitting on the sidelines of communities right now that have the power to change things for us. We all have barriers when it comes to being in meaningful relationship, finding meaningful connections. Maybe that's our work schedules. Maybe we're new to the area. Maybe it's the demanding family schedule. Maybe it's our physical health or our mental health or access to childcare or the financial resources to spend on going out and spending time with people. There are barriers, and it is hard. And I want to say something dramatic now, like, but what if our lives depended on it? But that feels like too much. But also, doesn't it? Isn't there something about this life that God created for us that is dependent on our ability to experience love and joy and trust and forgiveness and comfort and acceptance from real live flesh and blood people? And doesn't it feel like a little bit of you is dying when you are cut off from those experiences, when you are in seasons of real loneliness? I think so. One of the ways Christians talk about community in the church is this phrase, body of Christ. In Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, he describes how bodies are made up of different parts, arms, legs, eyes, ears, and though they're all different and they do different things, they're all important and they're all needed to make this living, breathing person. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:27, you are the body of Christ. You're all part of it. This body made up of all of us is led by the church. Jesus is the head of this body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of this body. Another way that we find Paul talking about Christian community that plays on this imagery of the body is building up the body of Christ. Just like a body is a living, breathing, dynamic thing, a community of people is a living, breathing, dynamic thing. A thing that can grow and change, a thing that can be built up or torn down. Paul writes about the body of Christ to the church that's forming in Ephesus. And he writes to encourage them to build up community that looks like Jesus, that acts like Jesus. I'm going to read parts of this passage from Ephesians chapter 4. I'll start in verse 1 and end around verse 16 and kind of jump around. So starting there in verse 1, it says, Paul, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of spirit and the bond of peace. He talks about pulling together this community and leaning into this unity and the grace we have in Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, and Jesus gave us the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip the saints for ministry. In what? For building up the body of Christ. And then he wraps it up like this. When each part is working perfectly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The world is hungry for the kind of community only Jesus can inspire. The church has such an opportunity right now to meet the need for the authentic relationships and deeper community we crave. But first, Paul says we have work to do. There's something we have to work on to bring into those relationships. Paul says that our work in relationships is to bring in all that good Holy Spirit stuff. Humility, gentleness, patience. We call those things fruits of the Spirit. Those are signs, evidence that God is working in and through you. Our work is to practice cultivating these things in us so that when our spouse or our parent or our friend or our coworker or the stranger in front of you in the grocery store encounters you, what they're really encountering is the love of God coming through you, showing up through our humility when we get it wrong, through the gentle way we correct or challenge an assumption, through the patient way we sit with others as they are learning something new. One of the surefire, tried and true, proven ways I know to cultivate these qualities that Paul is talking about is to find ways to serve. In my years of ministry, I have spent so much time participating in, organizing, and leading service opportunities, all different kinds, from one-off events to short-term mission trips, like the ones our students go on. I've done that around our country and abroad in Mexico, the Dominican Republic, and Zambia. And then there's longer-term partnerships like what you see here with Sunday Night Suppers. These are all different ways to serve, and I believe from everything that I've gotten to see and experience that God can and will use every kind of service opportunity to cultivate, to teach you, to help you strengthen gifts like humility, gentleness, and patience. But I will say that some of the ways that I've seen God at work the most through service is when service is consistent over time and when it's face-to-face. When service is consistent over time, it becomes part of who you are and how you live. Right now, Sunday Night Suppers is running its curbside program through the summer. And one of my favorite things about how it's expanded, this hunger program, is that it's given us the opportunity to open the doors to the community outside of our churches to bring them in as volunteers throughout the summer. We have become a connection point in our community for people who are looking for opportunities to serve, and we give them a place and a purpose to do that. One of the people that I've met over the summer is a mom with some young kids around my kids' age, and she was looking for a way to serve alongside her kids, and she found Sunday Night Suppers. They signed up for a bunch of nights and have been coming consistently here almost every week this summer. What happens when you serve consistently is you know how things work and you know what's needed. And so now on a Sunday night, when this mom and her daughters show up to serve, they know where things are, they know what to do, and they know what questions to ask. Not only is this very helpful for me and the volunteers on our host team, but it's also a positive experience for these young girls to know that they are making a difference, to know that their help and what they can do is needed. Turns out that one of the kids was struggling in school, and the mom was specifically looking for opportunities to serve so that their kid could practice empathy. And then that's one of the reasons that she found Sunday Night Suppers and brought her kids along to serve here. When service is face to face, everything is more personal. It becomes more personal when you see the direct impact of what you are doing on those who are receiving your service. But it also becomes more personal because of who you get to do it with. Service opportunities are a great way to get to know more people and find your people. I see it every Sunday night at Sunday Night Suppers. I see it when we take our kids and leaders on service trips. And I see it with our Presbyterian women and their friends when they throw a rummage sale twice a year. Relationships are built when people are working side by side for a common purpose. Whether it's packing meals or sorting donations or folding clothes, God uses every moment in between for connection. Maybe the next step for you right now is saying yes to one of the next opportunities for service you're invited into here with one of our mission partners. But maybe it's not with one of our mission partners. Maybe it's with one of our serve teams here. Our hospitality team makes every Sunday morning feel super welcoming and loving. Our deacons ministry continues to provide care for those that aren't able to worship with us in person right now. And they show up and set up for funerals. They are a way that people feel loved and served by this church. Maybe it's one of those opportunities. Maybe it's something outside the church walls altogether. Paul reminds us that Jesus gives us all kinds of leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, all kinds of leaders to equip us for the work of building up the body of Christ. The body of Christ isn't limited to the physical space of a church. Jesus can't be contained like that. So I want to encourage you that God has placed leaders in every corner of your life with the gifts and knowledge to meet you where you are and help build up the community where you are. Sometimes you just have to open your eyes and open your heart for that opportunity to be connected, to be inspired, to be built up. Then Paul says this at the very end. When everybody in the body is working perfectly, it just grows on its own. When every part of the body is doing their part, it grows and builds itself up in love. Can we make that our prayer? That we could be so committed to living like Jesus, that community wasn't hard anymore? That we could be so drawn into community through the love that we experience and the gentleness and humility and patience we experience there, that everything works together so naturally, that everybody has a part, everybody is brought in, everybody has a purpose, that the thing just happens, that everything just builds itself up. Wouldn't that be such a different world than we're living in right now? It seems like such a different world than we're experiencing right now, but it sounds a lot like how God intended things. And I do think we get to experience glimpses of that connection, of that holy community now on this side of heaven. If you have stuck with us through this whole series, if you have been hanging around Park Ridge Presbyterian Church for a while and you don't yet feel connected, this is your invitation to take a next step. Join a serve team, show up to an event, stay for coffee hour, come worship in person. And don't just come and be present and leave, but be ready to take a next step because we're inviting people all the time to take next steps of faith. If you head to our website, parkridgepresby.org/getconnected, you'll find a few next steps that you can take. My invitation to you is if you haven't let us know that you're here, tell us you're here. Let us connect you to a group to a serve team, to an event where you can stand side by side other people, whether that's through loving your neighbors here in this church or outside through our mission partners. It is not working, this go your own way, lone wolf, it's all up to me life. It's not true, it's not working, we need each other. It's how God created us. And we wanna be a part of your story. So head to our website, parkridgepresby.org/get connected. Take a next step with us. Let's pray. God, you know where we are right now, whether we are feeling stuck, whether we're feeling cut off, whether we feel like we have too much community commitment right now, too many connections that we feel like we can't keep up and we're drowning. God, you see us and you know us. God, would you help speak to us now where you're calling us to take a next step, where you're calling us to invite somebody in, where you're calling us to serve people here in this church or around our city through our mission partners. God, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, and more than anything, you would remind us that we are not alone. There are people for us. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.